glad the Comforter has come. Amen. And he says, when he comes, he'll baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful that the Comforter has come? Praise God. You may be seated this evening. We're going to read in a moment from Isaiah 45, verse 22 and 23. But the Lord bless each one tonight, and our brothers already said it, but I want to give everyone a warm welcome in their service. And you know, I've been praying, and I'm sure others have been praying, and you've been asking God different things, and I have as well. And you know the amazing thing about God, he doesn't tell you everything. Sure he doesn't. How many will agree with me this evening that God doesn't tell you everything? Maybe yous are different than me as a preacher. But sometimes you have to walk by faith, not by sight. But I pray a lot of times, why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? And I know people talk like that. Well, I was praying the day and asking the Lord today, and the Lord spoke to me. I believe God spoke to me today. And you know all he said to me? Be faithful. Amen. That was it. He didn't tell me why this or why that or why anything else. I had a lot of questions for God concerning a lot of things, and all he said was, be faithful. Amen. When God met Abraham, he said to Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Amen. Abraham had a lot of things on the way as he traveled, but Abraham remained faithful. Faithful. Praise God in all his house. Amen. And it's something to be faithful. God wants people today that's faithful. Faithful to the Lord. That remain faithful to the Lord. It's simple, but it's so true, isn't it? Praise God. Now, that was just something the Lord said to me. I wanted him to tell me a whole lot more than that, but he didn't. And that's just it. So that's what I've got. And that's all I'm going with. And I'm here tonight to remain faithful. And the matter of money's here, I'm here to remain faithful. And I just trust God will do then whatever else he's going to do. Because I can't do it. It's not right, but God can do it.
Amen.
God can do anything. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Let us read from Isaiah 45. And I want to read verse 22 down. Praise God. And we want to continue to pray for those in need. And I believe we need to keep praying for doctors and nurses as well. I used to do it all the time on the live things. I want to continue to do it. I feel that the Lord's prompted me to continue to do it. It's a tough job. Some of the sisters that are nurses, and there's no doctors maybe here, but it's definitely a tough job. It's not for everybody. I believe it's a calling. I really believe that. I've always said that, and I believe that. And it's a tremendous job, and we need them, and we want to pray for them. And those in authority as well, let's keep praying for them. And God's own people, Israel. Israel's our time clock for the coming of the Lord. When you see the fig tree putting forth, know it's even at the door. It's our time clock. Verse 22 then of Isaiah 45. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth, in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall man come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. I want to read two verses from Philippians chapter 2, but my text will be from verse 22. Look unto me. Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11. That the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us come and bow our heads this evening, and if you have a need, lift your hand up before the Lord tonight, and I'll pray for you. God bless you, God bless you, the Lord bless you. And those listening in this evening, we want to pray for David again this evening, and God is a healer. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the lovely name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have open access from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we're asking for the help of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. Pray you'll bless your word to each one in this room and those tuned in tonight. I'm asking you for the hands raised in this room and those watching in, that you'll meet every need in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that you will add to your church such as should be saved, whether it's in this room or somewhere else. Bless others tonight that will preach the truth that's not in this place but in other places. Bless them. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and the glory. Pray again for David this evening, that from the very crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that he would know the power of God coming upon him and delivering him and making him whole. In Jesus' precious name. We ask again for the man that had the accident. Lord, that thing fell upon. Lord, you know everything about him. We pray you'll spur him and touch him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help us now, Lord, and bless your people and save the lost and heal the sick. And any in this room that needs your touch or listening in, may they know the touch of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one this evening. I want to take for the text this evening from verse 22. Look unto me. That's a very simple thing tonight. The first thing God is saying in this text, to whom does God tell us to look for salvation but tell himself? He doesn't tell us to look unto the priest to be saved. If he did, that would be another God and another gospel. He does not say, you know, to look to ourselves to be saved or to some other man. But he says, look unto me. And it's not even look unto yourself. Yourself can't save you. People talk about in self. There's healing in yourself and there's righteousness in self. And people talk about their own body can heal itself and all these things. And if all that was true, as people say, wise people died. If they could heal themselves, they could live. Man without Christ is lost. And he needs to look unto God to be saved. Oh, praise God. Look unto me. How often people who come for salvation, they look to themselves, they look to what they could do. Even some people when they say, you know, maybe I didn't repent enough. Some people, you know, have repentance meetings. Did you ever hear one of them? A repentance meeting. And the fellas in charge of them meetings, they sort of look at it that maybe somebody didn't just repent enough, and if they could get them into a wee secret room and get them to tell them a couple of secret sins, they could repent more and get a further deliverance. But I'm sorry this evening, I don't believe in that. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. And I believe when I come to Jesus Christ, he forgives me all my sins. And he doesn't need another man to give him a hand, for there's no one that could give him a hand. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. Jesus Christ has done it for me, and he's done it for you. He needs no other. Look unto me. Oh, praise God. Some say it's not enough just to believe enough. Now that's looking to yourself as well. The Bible means what it says, believe and you'll be saved. That's all you have to do. This doesn't say believe plus, but it just says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now once you believe and you're saved, the rest will follow. You will follow the rest because you're saved. Isn't that right? Praise God. Look unto me. God wants us to turn our eyes off of ourselves. And he wants us to look on him. The hardest thing in the world is turn a man's eyes off of himself and unto the Lord. The cross and Christ's suffering is the only place to look. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. That's the message of God tonight. That's the message that can save. It is looking from yourself to Jesus. So many people misunderstand the gospel. They think that righteousness qualifies them to come to Christ. I talked to the man on Saturday morning, and no doubt he's a sinner. Maybe a big one. Now, this fella doesn't come to church, but it's not great. Because the fella I wanted to keep talking to. Because my Bible tells me there's hope for a sinner.
Amen.
And you know, he was more or less telling me that he wouldn't be good enough for the things of God and all these different things. And he knew he was a sinner. And he says, you know, he wouldn't go to church and all these different things. And I said, there's hope for you. The Lord wants a fella like you that knows he's a sinner. For my Bible says Jesus came to save sinners.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Didn't come for the righteous, but sinners. Sin is the only qualification for a man to come to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That's the thing that brings you to Christ when you realize you're a sinner. You need to come to Jesus Christ. Mark 2:17 tells us that when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Lord loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. He loves the sinner. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And he died to save them. Psalm 6 verse 2 says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are waxed. The great physician come to heal the sick. David knew the bigger his sins were, the better reason for asking for mercy. David knew that. We heard about David this morning. David did a lot of things that was wrong. David did it. He backslid and he did all them things. But yet your Bible reads the same as mine. It reads this. He was a man after God's own heart. Why? Was he a man after God's own heart? I'll tell you why. Because he repented. You know, the Lord loved Peter, and Peter did a lot of things as well, but the Bible says Peter went out and repented bitterly. He repented for the things he'd done. And God wants men and women that are willing to repent. And you know, there's no salvation outside of repentance. Acts 2:38, we all quote it, and it's true. Repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that gift is eternal life. Eternal life. That's what that gift is. But God wants men and women to repent. Look unto Jesus Christ and be saved. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That's why the Lord died for us. Aren't you glad when you had no strength and no hope, the Lord died for you?
Amen.
And he suffered on the cross for you. And I want to mention a little bit of the cross. And I know I've mentioned these things many times when I've preached, but they don't need excuse for, because they're still true. Even if you've heard them before, they'll do you good to hear them again. He was wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sins, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, and by his stripes, wounds, we are healed. The Lord on the cross received all this, so that by his wounds we could be healed. Wounds, according to the definition of the surgeon, are divisions of the soft parts of the body by a mechanical force applied externally, and they're classified by different characteristics. And you know, Christ had five wounds that can be medically named. Christ received all these five wounds on the cross. The contused wound, a wound produced by a blunt instrument, like a blow by a rod. Micah 5 verse 1, now gather thyself and troops, O daughter of troops. He have laid siege against us, they have smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon his cheek. They beat the Lord on his face. And he received this wound, this contused wound. I might be pronouncing it wrong, but he received this wound from the bruising on the face. Then there's a lacerated wound, a wound produced by a tearing instrument. Laceration of the tissue. Psalms 129 verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord's back was ripped from his hairline at the back of his head right down. And the Bible says it fell over his buttocks. Like a ploughed field. Did you ever see a field ploughed where the ground is tore up and separated? And the Lord's back was tore from his shoulders right down. Ripped right down. Wounded. I'll tell you one of the best testimonies I've ever heard. It's on our website. And the man on there tells of the whipping of Christ. God let him see it. He let him see that whipping post. James White is his name. And it's a wee bit like our Mark preached this morning about the Lord when he came in and Lazarus was raised. You'd think they'd have been glad, but they weren't glad. They weren't even glad for Lazarus. Now, I was in James White's meetings when my Uncle John here, I put him in, I must have been like one of these young fellas here. It was a long time ago. But they say, even before that, when he came here, the meetings were greater. I wasn't living at that time, probably. But my father said, when James White, when God really moved with him, the people would cross the other side of the street. They wanted nothing to do with them. They didn't want the move of God in this country. When God moved with James White, nobody wanted it. The so-called churches didn't want it when God moved. But God used James White. And James White didn't believe that healing was in the atonement, and he saw the crucifixion of Christ. And he saw the wounds of Christ. And if you go on our website, you can watch it and hear his testimony. It's wonderful. And I believe if you have the Holy Spirit, it'll do something to you as you hear that testimony. And he describes a man as he lay on the ground, and they had him tied up, whipping him, and they cut the things that I'm tied up with, and he fell on the ground. And he said, he turned and he looked at him and he said, is this not enough for your healing? And after that, James White prayed for people. God healed them. Amen. God healed them. These wounds which he received was for our healing. There's a penetrating wound, a deep wound caused by sharp pointed instrument like a crown of thorns placed on the Savior's head. And you can go and look at yourself at those thorns that were long Jerusalem thorns that were placed on his head, and they were beaten into his forehead. And blood come out from where them thorns were beaten in. And the thorns speak of the curse that God placed in the ground. And Jesus was cursed as he that hangeth on a tree. The curse that was put on mankind, Christ carried it actually at the cross. So that he could lift it of me and you. So the curse is broke. It's like our brother John prayed the other night here in the service. When the Holy Spirit comes in, the devil gets out. That's the truth, isn't it? That's what drives the devil back, the Holy Ghost. And when the blood of Jesus stamps you and marks you, the devil has to get back. You're marked by the blood of the Lamb of God. Jesus bore the curse. A perforating wound, from the Latin word meaning to pierce through. Psalms 22 verse 16. For the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. The Lord's hands and feet were pierced through. Thomas said, "I'll not believe it unless I see it." And then the Lord appeared again and he said to Thomas, "Feel the marks in my hands. And be believing and not doubting." Then there's the incised wound. A cut produced by sharp-edged instrument, John 19:37. "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Jesus Christ was wounded on the cross for me and you. The Lord done enough for us. We don't have to struggle to see people healed. If you're struggling to see people healed, it's wrong. It's nothing to do with you and me. It's the Lord that's really done it. All we have to do is pray and believe. It's in God's hands. Whatever happens after that's down to God, not down to me and you.
Amen.
Many times the devil wants to tell you it's your fault or my fault. No, you never died on the cross. I didn't. Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
But he asks us to believe it. Here's another thought I want to bring you tonight. The means of salvation, it is to look unto me and be saved. This is the only means of salvation. Look unto me and be saved. Men want something that they can put to it, as it were. Many want a man in a black suit and a white collar on him. Some people want that. They want a minister that's seen as a minister. I've been in places before and they say, "You're a clergy, you're a minister." And I say, "Yes." And they say, "You don't look like one." Because modern society is used with a man in a black cloak with a white dog collar. And the more sissy looking he is, the better he suits what people think. Now that's the truth. That's absolutely the truth. The television programs I saw in the day, the local minister goes down and drinks with him in the bar and he does all the things with him and he's more or less like a wee sissy. That's their interpretation of a man of God. What would they do with Peter?
Right.
The Bible says Peter was an unlearned and ignorant man.
Amen.
But they took knowledge of being with Jesus. Right. What about Wigglesworth? Wigglesworth could hardly even talk right. When he said, he never said "you're healed," he just said "you're healed," because he couldn't pronounce H. Rough man. He couldn't even talk right. The Holy Ghost got him. Then he started preaching. Amen. And he couldn't preach before it. That's the truth. His wife preached. You know, when Wigglesworth's wife came home one night filled with the Holy Ghost, he threw her out. Did you know that? He kicked her out of the house. And he kicked her out one door, and she laughed that much and run back in the other door. She laughed at him. And had done something to him. Because he knew something had happened to her. And he wanted to get what she got, and he got it. And God transformed him into a temper, a real bad temper. God took the temper he had from the way he was using it, and God used it for his glory. And that's why Wigglesworth would take his fist and hit a patient right in the guts as hard as he could.
Right.
I said, "Devil, get out."
That's right.
Punched him right in the guts. And there's so many testimonies for Wigglesworth took his fist and hit people in the guts that had cancer. Could you imagine going over to the hospital and a man with cancer and you take a fist and you punch him in the guts and arrest you, wouldn't it? You couldn't do that. But Wigglesworth knew what God told him. Now that can't be acted. That's the thing about it. That cannot be acted. That was a real thing. God is special men and special women that he works in a special way with. Oral Roberts had a gift in his hand, and Oral Roberts could take somebody by the hand, and Oral Roberts had the power of anointing in his hand. But God gave him. And you know, William Branham had a gift in his hand as well. Not only had he a gift in his hand, but William Branham could tell people the secrets of their heart sitting in the service. He knew the very secrets of their heart that terrified people. And I know old Christians, an old Christian lady I met in America in 1991, and she was in his services, and she said he was just like a farmer boy, the most humble man, and he came to the microphone, and when he dealt with people over sin, he covered the microphone. He didn't blow their sin out for everybody to hear. And I tell you, God's a good God, isn't he? And he's the same tonight.
Amen.
Every one of them men was unique. Every one of them was special. But it was the power of God behind every one of them. Because of the cross. Because of what he done on the cross. But you see, this is their idea of a minister of the day in a suit and a dog collar. Then they want flower pots and candles. You might think, brother, you're beside yourself. And this is absolutely the truth. The minister then becomes a priest. And he has to dress. And you know, a big cross on him helps as well. The bigger the better. But the Lord's not on a cross. And you can wear all the crosses and chains you want. It'll never save you or deliver you. There's no power in a gold cross. But there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross. It's not on the cross. Now there's nothing wrong with wearing a cross. But I'm talking about these boys that they wear these big things on them. I am a minister. That lets me know he's not. Amen. There's people do things to be seen. But Paul tells us we're not to preach the gospel for envy or strife. He explains it all that. I'm not going to go into the night. The minister then becomes a priest and has to want the cross and all the rest of it. What is simply a plate becomes a pattern. And then what was once a cup becomes a chalice. And then more complicated ceremonies are the better for them. They can't understand them and they don't seem to want to. Goes over their head. Boy, that was deep tonight. What did he say? I'm not sure. He preached deep. Did he? Did you understand it? No, I never knew a word of it. It's no use to you. The Bible says Jesus, the common people heard him gladly.
Amen.
And the Bible speaks of the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. They like the minister to stand and a superior, you know, some sort of a special being. That's what people like. The world likes religion they cannot understand, but yet, if they will notice the word God in the Bible is so simple. God's word simple. Repent and believe.
Amen.
Well, they'll not have God, you know, he doesn't want man's nonsense. He speaks plain nothing but plain things. Look unto Christ and receive. That's the message. Look and live. That's the message the Lord brings. Many come to Christ like Naaman till Elijah. And when he said, go wash in Jordan in 2 Kings 5, verse 10 to 14. They go, well, I couldn't go down there. We've better rivers. We've better this. We've better that. God didn't say anything else. He said, go there. The Bible doesn't say, do this way or that way. The Bible says, repent ye therefore.
Amen.
And believe and you'll be saved. Amen. There's no other way. The gospel is simple, the only way. Look, just four letters. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. How simple the way of salvation is. It's so simple, thousands are missing it. Let's think of the brass serpent in the wilderness. If an Israelite was bitten by a snake, that they were commanded to look upon the serpent and live. One look, and they were lived.
Amen.
Dying 1 minute, living the next minute. I will put it to this church tonight and all listening in this evening. If Jesus Christ's sacrifice is superior, and it is, to all other sacrifices, and if his work of atonement is superior than all others, then surely if a man can look at a brass serpent and live, how much more can a man not live that looks to the person of Christ on the cross?
Amen.
There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look. Look unto him and be saved that died on the tree. Look and live. Doesn't say look and die, it's look and live. Oh, if he gets saved, it'll be great, but God could take him. But what about him getting saved and getting healed? What about that? What about if Jesus is a Savior, the same Jesus is a healer? What about the four square gospel, Savior, Baptizer, Healer, and coming King?
Amen, amen.
You accept him as your Savior in childlike faith, then you can accept him as your healer, same faith. And the atonement covers it all. Look and live. He's a Savior and He's a healer. Numbers 21 verse 9 says, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten anyone, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. John 3 verse 14 to 17, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants to save. And he says, if you look, you can live. If you look, you can be saved. Amen. Let's look at the resemblance of the serpent and Christ for a moment. And then I'm going to close in a moment. I won't hold you long tonight. As Israelites were in sore distress and the dying from the bites of the poisonous serpent, so is man in great spiritual danger and dying from the poisonous effects of sin. Just as an Israelite was bitten by a snake, a physical snake, man has been bitten by sin. And you started in the garden, and there was someone in the garden called the serpent. And Eve said the serpent, and she blamed the serpent, and then so forth, they went back and forth, but the Bible says by one man. Is that right? Sin came into the world. But just as they were bitten, the one bite could kill, and the one look, they could live.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Glory.
By the one bite, they could be killed and die, but by the one look, they could live.
Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave. One look at the cross of Christ, one believing, can be saved and live. As the serpent lifted up on the pole was an image of the very thing which had poisoned the Israelite, even so Christ had in himself no sin, and yet was made sin for us. He was made sin for us. In himself he had no sin, but he was made sin for us. In other words, he took our place. Not just the place of me, but the place of me and you and every single one of us in this room. And the Bible says the whole world. God so loved the world. He took the place of every man. Nobody else could do that. That's real redemption, isn't it? Romans 8 and 3 says, for what the law could not do then, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He done it in the flesh. The thing that no other man could do, Christ done it in the flesh. The brazen serpent was a serpent without poison. Listen to this. The brazen serpent had no poison in it, but it was a serpent. And Christ was without sin. The thing which we really need to see is Christ crucified is our sin laid upon him. When he was crucified, our sin was laid upon him on the cross. And him counted as a sinner and treated as a sinner and punished as a sinner for our redemption. In fact, we see on the cross sins punished. That's what we see in the cross. Sins punished. Crucified, born, and carried by our Redeemer. Jesus was crucified. He bore, he carried our sins, and he appeased God.
Amen.
Do you know what that word appease means? Satisfied him. Nothing else could do it, but Christ satisfied God in our room, in our stead. Oh, but I don't know if I've had a good enough week or not. Well, you better look to Jesus, for he had a good day at the cross. It didn't look like it, but it was the best day of all time. Because God accepted him for you and me.
Amen.
And it's nothing to do with a good day or a bad day. It's to do with that day at Calvary.
Amen.
That day is a day that counts. That day is a day that matters for all time and eternity. When he took your place and my place. Now we want to see one way the Israelites obtained relief from the brazen serpent was by looking at him by faith. That was the way they done it. The feeblest look brought healing to the Israelite immediately. The feeblest look brought healing immediately. And the weakest faith, it is true faith, from the heart brings salvation to the sinner. If a person's sincere, the Lord will save them. And he'll save them right away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm closing. John 3 verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When you get saved and you received eternal life, how long did that last for? How long did eternal life last for? It lasts for what it says. Eternal. Let us stand our feet this evening. Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads this evening. If there's anyone that'll hear this message and you're not really saved, the most important thing is to look to Christ on the cross and live. If you are saved and you need healed, look again to the same Savior, and if by his wounds are striped, you're healed. Father, we thank you this evening that you're the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. I pray, Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit will work on. And Lord, that you'll confirm your own word with signs and with wonders and with divers miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Bless each and every one in this room tonight. Save from the youngest to the oldest. We claim household salvation.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask for everyone tuned in this evening that the Spirit of the Lord will move and strive upon them, and that the Holy Ghost will make the word effective upon them, and that men and women will be saved and healed by the power of God. In Jesus' precious name. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As our brother Mark comes, God bless each one.
Maybe we could turn to 332 in the Redemption Hymnal. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Carry not, my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary.